Well, how are we doing, y'all? There we go. Well, my name is Tony. I'm one of the pastors here, and you get to experience a Tony message, which usually is interesting. So, happy Father's Day, fathers out there. Fortunately, I've got my real dad, and then I've got my father-in-law, and I've got great relationships with both of them. I know that that's not the case always. Sometimes there's either severed relationships or your dad's no longer with you, but this is a day when we can just set aside and just celebrate dads around us, and us as dads, fathers, just remember, we can do better. That's how it is. We can do better. I love my little girl. She's just been smiles and giggles the past couple days, and it's been really fun. Before, like, all she did was poop and cry, and now you can definitely see her Tony traits, like, sneaking out, mischievous, and she just loves people. She loves people. So in honor of Father's Day, I figured I'd tell you just a little short story, one of my favorite dad stories, and that was with Ashley's father, actually. We weren't terribly close, but because they live far away, they live in St. Louis, but we get to go on these little, like, motorcycle excursions all over the country. And so I took a year off from ministry, and I took a couple trips with him, and the second trip we went to was the Tale of the Dragon in North Carolina, which sounds really wicked, because it is. It's like 311 turns in like 7 miles or something crazy like that. And so it's like motorcycle paradise. And so we went down to North Carolina together. And on the way there, I got the address and my GPS. And we're cruising along. He's like, "You got the address, right?" I was like, "Yeah, I got the address." He's like, "Well, the address isn't right. You have to have the GPS coordinates." And so it's like, "Don't worry. It's in there. It's pulled up. It's fine." And so it starts pouring down rain. We get to the Tail of the Dragon. We didn't realize we were on the Tail of the Dragon, so we're going through it in the dark, in the rain, and we get all the way past it and way past our place, way, like 5-10 miles past where we're supposed to stop for the night. And he's like, "Where the heck are we?" And I was like, "Well, the GPS is wrong." And I seriously was wondering if he was going to tell me that I was no longer allowed to be his son. But it's fun. It's fun. I'm so fortunate to have two dads that I can go to with anything. And he's a pastor, and my dad, although he lives in Indiana, we still talk frequently. And I was just down there a couple weeks or months ago now, geez, and helped him put together a shed. So I just encourage you guys, if you can, call your dad and say Happy Father's Day, and love on all the dads around us today. Cool? How we doing? I'm trying to contain my energy. I'll be nice. Okay, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for just the opportunity to come and just worship. Thank you for air conditioning and this beautiful place where we can meet. And Father, I just pray that you be with us as we're talking about our neighbors. Just help us to have a better understanding of what it means for us to be a good neighbor and just from the words that you've given us. Thank you, Father, in your prayer. Amen. Amen. So Josh is doing something with his family. I would tell you what it is, but I wasn't listening when he told me. No. He's with his father. They're doing like a big celebration there, and all the kids are there. So he's gone this weekend, and so I'm preaching week three, and we're talking about neighbors. And when I think of neighbors, you know, I've lived several different places. I've lived in Indiana and Fort Wayne, South Bend. I've had college roommates. All of those are neighbors. Where we're at now, we've got some really cool neighbors. The neighbors right to the right of us, they're Christians, Missy and Jeff, and they're just really nice people. We don't, like they don't have, like, a lot of block parties, blah, 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 blah. And then the neighbors to the other side of us, Kim and Brandon. Kim works at Mama Vicky's. Every time we go in there, we get hugs, and they've got a little boy, Connor, who's just maybe a year older than Paisley, and so kind of watching them grow up together. But has anybody had a terrible neighbor? Come on. Has anybody been a terrible neighbor? I've had some pretty terrible neighbors, too. I'll just tell you a little bit about, we'll just call him Roger. Roger, the terrible neighbor, who always needed me to do something for him, who always wanted to borrow this, and it never returned. You know, we've all had terrible neighbors, right? We've all been that terrible neighbor sometime. Eh? No? Yes? So today, what we're going to be talking about is that it's easy to love the neighbors that are easy, but the difficult ones are the ones that are tough. That's when we really struggle, when we have neighbors that we just don't get along with. And so to do this, we're going to look at some scripture. Luke 10, we're just going to look at the story of the Good Samaritan. If you haven't heard this, this is a parable that Jesus told somebody who asked him, what do I got to do to get into heaven? And he says, well, you got to love the Lord and you have to love your neighbor. And he goes on to explain it. So why don't we read that together first, and then we'll get into some meat. Cool? How are we doing? Do we need to do stretches? You guys weren't singing as loud as what I thought you could. Okay. Let's read this. I don't know. Did I put this in there? I was debating whether or not to do the message, really shock the system, but I didn't do it. So it's not on there. You'll just have to listen to it, just like as if Jesus was telling the story. So one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So then Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, they left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bills run higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 men would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, go now and do the same. So, looking at this page, this passage that I just read, our neighbors are the ones who really need us most, not necessarily the ones that we get to choose. And if we're looking at this, it's not a geographical neighbor, the guys that live right next door to us, but it's anybody who is just in need. Anybody who's in our path is our neighbor, right? Amen? Amen. And so, honestly, that can be difficult sometimes. It can be difficult because there's people that we just don't get along with. Maybe they're wired different. Maybe they smell funny. Who knows? But we just don't get along with everybody. Maybe we hate people. I think there's people that do that. They just hate people. But that's part of life. And, you know, I saw this quote, and I thought it was pretty neat. I'm just going to read it to you. It's from G.K. Chesterton. It says, we make our friends, we make our enemies, but God makes our next-door neighbor. The old scriptural language showed up so sharp that a wisdom that when it spoke not of one's duties towards humanity, but duties towards one neighbor. The duty towards humanity may often take the form of some choice which is personal or even pleasurable, but we have to love our neighbor because he is there. A much more alarming reason for a much more serious operation. He is the sample of humanity which is actually given to us. We don't get to choose who our neighbors are. We don't get to choose who God places in our lives at certain times. And I believe that everybody, you know, God is this great orchestrator. He's the one who is making it all happen. And a lot of times we just don't get to choose who we're encountering with. We don't necessarily get to choose who our desk is next to. We don't get to choose who's in our family, but they're still our neighbors, and we still have to love them. So with that in mind, how do we do that? So what I thought I would do is just share with you a couple different tips that we can do to love difficult people. Cool? Christina's my favorite. All right, so the first tip for loving difficult people. Am I resonating at all? Does anybody have a difficult person in their life? Who popped in their head? Did somebody have somebody pop in their head? Man, I know who he's talking about. Oh, Tony, look at that. We all have difficult people, right? No? Yes? Should I just sit here? Yeah, okay. We've got difficult people. The first tip that I want to give you is, first of all, we need to pray for your own heart. We need to pray for our own heart. Let's be honest. Some of us, we just get bitter. We got you know, out of shape on something, and we're holding a grudge with us. For somebody who doesn't even, like, matter, it wasn't that grudge. Maybe it was a situation in your life where that person burned you, and now there's somebody else completely different, but they look like them or they dressed like them, and now you're a hater, right? So we need to take care of our own heart. We just went, who went to the night of worship Sunday? Yes. It was awesome. It was cool. And kind of what we themed the whole night around was Psalm 51, and we just kind of work through this psalm. And the second section, the part where Evident Church was doing the worship and we were working through the songs, is this whole idea of creating a new heart within me. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a loyal spirit within me." And I think that we've got to pray for our own hearts. We need to understand that we're not perfect, that we come with baggage. And there's people in our lives that need us, that God has placed in our circle of influence that need us. They need us to love on them and to bless them. But until we can take care of our own drama, our own heart issues, that can't happen. Amen? Amen. So pray for your heart. Pray that God just works through situations in the future. Just like if, the Good Samaritan, let's take him for example. Say he's walking down the road and he looks at this guy and he says, "Oh, I have a serious problem with Jews. I need to go home and pray for him. Or I need to go home and pray for myself that I work through my issue with Jews." Because there was definitely some issue with Jews and Samaritans. If you know any history, it's way back in the beginning of the Old Testament where that feud started. No, we need to pray for our hearts now that God will be able to use us in the future. Amen? My iPad just shut off. Oh, no. Just kidding. I'm going to have to wing it, guys. Is that okay? Just kidding. Okay. Number two. My wife, she says, "Oh, no. This is my nightmare. It came true." Okay. So we need to pray for our own hearts, pray for situations that God can use us in other people's lives, even if we don't like them or if they're difficult. Okay, number two, we need to pray for them. You know, honestly, if we're going to be praying for ourselves and we need to love your neighbor as yourself, we need to be praying for them. Does that make sense? So Luke 10:25, this is what he says. "One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus replied, 'What does the law say? Blah, 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 blah. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself.'" And so I was wondering, where does this come from? And that "love your neighbor as yourself" actually comes from Old Testament, Leviticus, when they're talking about all of the laws. And it says, "Don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself." And so from the core doctrine of what it means to be a follower of God, this is something that is deep embedded into our hearts. And so honestly, if we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, we need to just be praying for them. If there's a guy who is just a pain at work, we need to be praying for him and say, "God, like obviously this situation isn't ideal, but you still love him, and I need to love him as well." If you've got that neighbor who constantly breaks your stuff, I don't know, you need to be praying for him. Pray for the relationship. Pray that you can help him in a way, you know, because chances are if it's difficult for you to get along with them, it's difficult for other neighbors to get along with them. And so we need to break down those walls. Cool? Do you know I got a big giant countdown back there? It's kind of fun to watch. 1931, 1930, 1929. Okay. Number three, let's keep going. So the next step is to get close to them. This is when it gets tough, because difficult people, you want to do the opposite. You want to stay away from them. But we need to get close to them. You cannot demonstrate God's love to others if you are not spending time with them. Amen? Ugh, that's no fun, Tony. I don't want to do that. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, some of us are just way too stinking busy. We've got way too much on our plates, and it's easy for us to say, oh, well, my schedule doesn't allow me to get close to them, so I don't have to deal with that. Wrong. Free up your schedule. Get close to them. If there's somebody difficult in your life, if there's somebody that you know that God has laid on your heart to work on, you need to get close to them. This is kind of neat. Romans 12, I love Romans. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And that's tough. And when you get close to someone, you are opening yourself up. That difficult person is not easy to get along with, and it's going to cost you. Just like the Good Samaritan, going back to that story, he had to shell out time, money. Obviously, he had something that he was going to. He was traveling. It's not like he was just looking around for beat-up Jews. But he had to sacrifice his schedule in order to help somebody else. Amen? Amen. And it cost him. I mean, he shelled out money, time. He didn't get to ride on his donkey. I don't know how exciting that is. Okay. Let's keep going. Number four, we need to bless and encourage them. Let's do some review here. One, pray for your heart. Pray for them is number two. Number three is get close to them. And then four is to bless and encourage them. And we see this in the Good Samaritan, that he spent time. He went out of his way. He went over and soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him, which is really weird, because why was he just like carrying around bandages and olive oil? Maybe he was looking for beat-up Jews. I don't know. I'm going to start carrying oil with me on my motorcycle trips. I'm going to do it. Okay, so Matthew 7:12, do unto others what you would like them do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. And so when we're getting close to them, it's going to cost us. We're going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to spend time with them. We're going to have to bend a little bit, work on our schedule. But we need to do our best to bless and encourage those who are difficult. We need to do our best, and it's not easy, but we've been called that from the deep, deep parts of our religion. Back in the very beginning, the law of the prophets, deep within us, we are called to love, to do what we would like them to do to us. And I think that there's ways that we can do this that are obvious, like buying those who are difficult. Mick, listen closely, because you said Tony, like buying them Five Guys burgers and fries. That's an easy one. Noted. Okay. B-Dub's Mountain Dew. He knows my heart. But there's simple little things that we can do. Like if you hear in conversations, I work closely with Josh. Not saying that he's difficult. He may be, though. I don't get to work with, like, other people, which I'm, you know, I wish... I think it would be cool to work with just like 20 people. I've experienced that with like in Sears and different things like that, and you get to meet all these people and build your little empire within Sears, you know, all your friends, blah, 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 blah. But just working with Josh, we're really close to each other now, like 5 feet close, not like best friends. We're pretty good friends too. But there's things that I hear him say, and he's like, man, I would really like to whatever. And I just kind of like note that in the back of my head and say, oh, good idea. I can keep that in mind for his birthday. It'd be a $2 thing. You know what I mean? Just something simple. If we're listening for ways to bless and encourage down the road, those things will pop up at the opportune time. But if you're zoning him out because he's annoying and stupid, not Josh, just saying hypothetically. then if you're, oh man, we're taking that out of the podcast. What was I saying? Oh, if you're not listening, if you put your earbuds in and just be a hater, you're never going to know how to bless or encourage people. Amen? Okay. Hey, I go on vacation like an hour and a half, so just so you know, I'm like all over the place today. Okay. I was like, thank goodness Josh is coming back. Okay. Bless and encourage. So there's plenty of examples of ways that it costs that we can bless and encourage. I mean, can you imagine this Jew who would expect the priest, who would expect the assistant to really reach out and help them? And when he walked by, can you imagine how crushed he would be that this priest, who's supposed to be all holy, blah, 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 didn't stop and help them? But the guy who hates them, we can't even relate because we don't have any. It would be like somebody from state helping out someone from U of M. Does that make sense? It just doesn't happen, does it? It just doesn't happen. It would be like somebody wearing all of their Michigan State gear, stopping and helping the beat up poor Wolverine. And you just wouldn't see it. And so can you imagine the encouragement when this guy thought, man, if this priest didn't stop and help me, I have no hope. Does that make sense? And so then this guy, the Samaritan, comes and just blesses, encourages him. Can you imagine just how full his cup would be? All right, cool. Let's keep going. Number five, give grace as God gives you grace. 1 John, I'm just going to read this. It says, if we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claimed we have not sinned, we are claiming that God is a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. We have all sinned. None of us have got it all together. And if we can continue on, if we can reciprocate, that's a new word, write it down, reciprocate that grace to others, just imagine how much it will continue to be reciprocated. Steve's over there laughing at me. The guy's too smart for me. Okay. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Give grace as God has given you grace. God has given us grace. And honestly, we may be talking to the difficult neighbor today. I don't know. Maybe you're wondering, like, man, why does everybody like not like me? But at the end of the day, God loves you. God loves you. And at some times we're all difficult. But Jesus loves us. He has forgiven us of our sins. And all we have to do is ask him. We have to claim that Jesus is our Lord, and he will forgive our sins. So then the last step, the last tip that I would like to just point out is that we need to realize that you also are difficult sometimes. What? Realize that sometimes you are difficult. So it says up there, we see sin in others' lives that we struggle with ourselves. So let's let that sink in a little bit. This is huge. It was a really big breakthrough with me. And it wasn't like a specific like situation or anything. But once I started to understand that when I've got a problem with somebody, 9 out of 10 times, 9.5 out of 10 times, that problem is something that I am struggling with myself. And so if we understand that, if we really let that sink in, that, you know what, I am not perfect, I am dealing with this same thing, it's easier for us to be able to deal with that difficult person. And we see this in the Bible, Matthew 7. You guys may have heard this. He says, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye?" People use this verse and it's cliche, blah, 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 but it's so true. It is so true. And that speck, 9 out of 10 times, or that log, 9 out of 10 times, is the same speck. It's from the same wood that log is from, or the speck is from. It's the same tree. And so I just encourage you guys, like when you're thinking this week, because it will happen, dude, that guy is difficult. Think to yourself, why is that guy difficult? And am I dealing with that same thing myself? I challenge you to do that. Because a lot of times that's what happens. So, like I said, 6 tips to help you work with difficult people. Pray for people. Pray for yourself first. Pray for them. Get close to them. Bless and encourage in ways that may be completely out of the box, that they wouldn't even see come in. Give grace as God gives you grace, and realize that you are difficult sometimes as well. Cool. 8 minutes. 8 minutes and 4. 8 minutes and 3. We're getting close. So I want to give some practical steps. Band, why don't you go ahead and come on up, and you can start playing your emotional feeling music. Get us all in the mood for Jesus to speak to our hearts. At the end of the day, we need to love our neighbors, whether that is our direct neighbors that live next to us or those that we work with, those who are in our lives, the people that God has placed in our lives, because they need Jesus. Amen? We need to love them because they need Jesus. And if we are not acting like Jesus, they will not see Jesus in us. Amen? Amen. So I encourage you guys, as you're working through this whole series, it's been great talking about neighbors and just the idea of loving on people and everything. I encourage you to just really think through, God, who are you putting on my heart? Who are you laying down in front of me? And, you know, there's ways that we can love people. One of our neighbors as a church is this school. And one of the ways that we can love on them is we are taking a special day, July 3rd. And what we're going to do, instead of having church as we know it like this, we want to just love on them. And so, July 3rd, mark this on your calendars. It's 2 weeks away. Instead of coming in your Sunday best, which is blue jeans and a t-shirt, come in your work clothes. And we're going to be doing a whole bunch of work outside for our school. And this is a day, I know that a lot of you are probably traveling or heading up north or whatever you do on 4th of July, but if you're in town, we would love to have you part of this. We're going to be serving the school. We're going to be living as Jesus lives here together as one church. And we're going to be cleaning up outside. We're going to be cleaning up some of the gardens. I'm sure that there's stuff that they want us to do in here. But I would love to get like 60, 70 people together and just clean up this whole place for them. They didn't ask us to do it. They didn't say that it was a mess. But we just want to take an opportunity and love our neighbor as a church. Can we get excited about that, church? And then afterwards, since Bob Grieger's not here, he's cooking dinner for all of us. I'll be sure to let him know. Okay, a couple other tips that I want to share with you guys, some practical steps. Here's another a YouVersion plan with the YouVersion app. If you haven't read it, it's How to Neighbor. This is a reading plan, and I think that maybe Josh has pumped this, but I've seen it on a lot of... So YouVersion is super cool. I love it. So all the time I get emails with people making YouVersion images, and I haven't taken the emails off because I love to see when people are reading their Bibles. It excites me that I get these emails. And I'm like, oh, man, this is not like a mean email from somebody who hates me. It's a YouVersion image. And also, I get to see when people are reading plans and how they're going and how fast they're getting through them. And all the time I'm seeing this How to Neighbor one right now while we're in this series. It's been really cool. Here's another one. The Optimal Heart Health with Dr. Bob. I thought that was kind of fun. And this is one where it kind of goes along with step one. If you're really trying to figure out praying for your heart, and maybe there's some things that you're struggling with difficult people. People over here are laughing. Dr. Bob. I wish. I thought it was fun, though, and I looked through it, and it's some pretty good stuff. But if you're dealing with difficult people, and you're like, man, maybe this is my heart, this would be a great practical resource for you to use. Cool? How we doing? Are we cold? No, we turned off the AC earlier. It was freezing in here, but then we kicked it back up, I think. Well, guys, I love you. Thanks for letting me just give you some tips on how to neighbor difficult people. I encourage you guys, if you miss one of the messages because you're on vacation or whatever, check it out online. Samantha Polona, she's not here today, but she's our communications intern. I don't know if any of you have heard that yet, but she's doing a great job. She's taking care of all of she has to listen. She's doing a great job taking care of some of the communication stuff, some of the videos and the announcements and social media. She's been blowing that up lately, and it's been fun. So I just encourage you guys, just next time you see her, give her a big hug and say, hey, thanks for what you're doing for the church, and I just appreciate that. Cool? All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, there's difficult people in our lives, and you know what? That's okay. You have placed them in our lives for a reason, and I pray, God, that we as a church, we as a group of people can make a difference in our community. I pray that that at the end of the day, we put aside our difficulties with other people so that they can see you through us. Father, thank you for just the opportunity to have difficult people in our lives. Thank you for letting us work through that in our own hearts so that we can have a clean heart, a pure heart from you through those situations. Father, we love you, and I pray that you just equip us to love our neighbors. In your name we pray, amen.